Welcome to the free webinar series for EFL-ESL teachers by Bingo Bongo Learning. I am your host, Jeremy Lanig, and welcome! Thank you for joining us tonight, and if you're watching the recorded video after the fact, thank you as well. I hope that this webinar series can provide a lot of useful information to a variety of different teachers, online teachers, kindergarten, elementary school, junior high school teachers, and anyone else who's struggling or looking for new ideas in the EFL-ESL industry. All right, so today's topic is how to use online games with worksheets in lessons. This is a fun topic. You might have seen that for the last few webinars in the series, we're talking about hybrid learning and blended learning. And today's topic is basically along those lines, and we're going to continue the conversation. So before we jump into the topic of today, I'd like to introduce myself and explain a little bit about the webinar series. So my name is Jeremy Lanig. I have a master's degree in mathematics, and that doesn't mean that I love doing big calculations and solving big, doing mathematical problems with big numbers, but rather I like problem solving. And so that's great because now everything that I do, I can approach it with an analytical mindset and try to find the most effective and efficient solution. Which is great because I created Bingo Bongo Learning, a resource company, as well as an English school in Japan, Step by Step Eikaiwa. And every day I face all sorts of new challenges and problems, and I'm able to take advantage of those problem-solving skills and put them to good use. All right, so then, if you haven't seen our past webinars, definitely check those out. There are, this is our fourth webinar of the series, and we've got more to come, and we have some great guests lined up. Today, I'm going to be doing a presentation by myself, so check those out. You can go to the Bingo Bongo website, and you can search free webinar Bingo Bongo, and it'll pop right up. Finally, if you are watching live, or if you've watched the recorded video after the webinar, if you would like an e-certificate, then send us a message and let us know. We're happy to send you an e-certificate verifying that you have completed or watched the webinar of today. All right, great. So today's topic, how to use online games with worksheets in lessons. So why is this topic so important? Well, we're talking about blended learning. How can I use traditional resources with technology? How can I blend those together to create a more powerful, more effective lesson plan or, lesson overall? And then, you hear flipped learning. And what is flipped learning? Well, flipped learning means we're going to take the classroom and we're going to flip it. So rather than the students coming to the classroom and we teach them everything and they go home and either review or forget it, they go home and they learn independently. They learn on their own through some system that we create and implement. Then they come to the classroom and we can review it in the classroom or we can apply it. In ESL, EFL, that would be using actual communication. That's what I like to do as much as possible after my students learn the new vocabulary, the new grammar. Come to the classroom and let's talk. Let's, see how we can apply this. See why English is useful. All right. And so another keyword or buzzword that we hear a lot recently is hybrid learning. And I think that after the pandemic sets in, everyone realizes, hey, our phones are powerful tools. We can all use those for either learning or blending or flipping. We can do a lot with them. And so now some schools are thinking, well, I don't know, is there going to be a lot of competition from online English schools or online competitors? Maybe I have a brick and mortar, maybe I have a traditional style classroom, but I need to get more online lessons incorporated. So when you combine the physical classroom with the online classroom, we could call that a hybrid style of learning. I also like to think of hybrid learning as, in a sense, the same as flipped learning. So if I create a program where the students will study with me once a week, but then they go home and they do some additional activities, additional worksheets, watch additional videos that I have structured carefully, then it is, in a sense, flipped learning. But I also want to think of this as an online lesson alternative. And so I'm still going to call some of the ideas from today, maybe potentially hybrid learning style activities. All right, so let's talk about the background of today's topic for myself. So I started an English school 10 years ago, step by step. And when I started, I had a background in teaching mathematics at the university level, and I was on the JET program, which is the government provided assistant language teachers in elementary schools, junior high schools, et cetera, et cetera. And so I came in and I had a lot of teaching experience. As a math teacher at the University of Wisconsin, I received an award for outstanding reviews by my students. And when I was an ALT, when I was teaching in the junior high schools, large classes, 30 students, 40 students, I thought, you know, this is fun. I feel like I'm doing the best that I can. But when I started an English conversation school, I realized I didn't really have the skills or the tools I needed to teach effective lessons. The big thing for me is to constantly evaluate my own teaching style and evaluate my students' level and find out, is it improving? And if I constantly evaluate things, I'm theoretically able to create a more effective, more efficient lesson style or lesson planning method. But for some reason, it just wasn't working out. So I kind of, when I first started the English conversation, it's a, you know, it's a private business. You have smaller classes from, you know, even one-on-one up to, you know, small classes of, I think our maximum is 9 students. So I jump in and I didn't really feel like the students were learning as quickly as I wanted them to. And I was kind of, you know, asking people who had experience in Ekaiwa, in the English conversation schools in Japan, like, what do you recommend? What books are you using? What style of lessons are you using? And so I got some of the common books that people used. And, you know, we'd start out, we'd sing a song, we'd do some flashcards, and we'd play some games. And then I'd say, okay, well, here's your homework. Go home and see you next week. And the retention rate was terrible. You know, week to week, it's just like they learned nothing, they remembered nothing. And the worst part of it was that every single lesson, I would say, okay, guys, well, let's you know, look at these new words. And they're like, no, game, game, game. And they got programmed to think of English as games. And sure, a lot of people think, well, kids have to have fun to learn. Games are, you know, a great way to teach an English class. And I would agree to some extent that there are better times than others, but my kids were out of control. And just every lesson, I mean, my games were fun. And, you know, I think sometimes they were learning the vocabulary through the games, but I would try to communicate, try to talk to them. How was your day? How are you? What did you eat? Nothing. I was getting no communication, just game, game, game. And I thought, okay, the games, I think, are getting in the way of what I want to achieve, the goals I want to achieve. So at one point, I decided, let's just try a new approach. Let's try a no games approach to our lessons. And so we had this rule, like, you can't say the word games, you can't use, you know, play any games in lessons. And I mean, we could do a fun activities, we could still do things that looked like games, we just wouldn't have the competition, we wouldn't have the points, we wouldn't have the winners, the losers. And, we just try to call them educational activities or, you know, fun things to do to learn English. And so I think that solved the out-of-control kids problem. And, what are we going to do instead of games? You know, that was the first initial problem we had to solve. If we're not going to play games in class, what are we going to do? Well, we need a better set of worksheets. We need a better system, a better curriculum. The worksheets we were using had a textbook and a workbook, and they had to go home and open one and look in the other, and it was too complicated, and we were getting very few of our students doing their homework. Some students didn't understand it. We had students lose their books, destroy their books, just everything, like so many problems. So We just started from scratch, and that's how Bingo Bongo Learning was created. And we now have 1,200 worksheets divided up into 10 years of a curriculum. It's, if you wanted to use the books to save time on downloading and printing, then we have 5 fun books. And so today I'm going to explain how all of these problems that we solved, all of the solutions were the foundation of Bingo Bongo Learning. So, yeah, in addition to saying no games, let's just focus on worksheets. We thought, well, that's a little bit too much to ask, you know, 40 lessons a year of just worksheet, worksheet, worksheet. We've got to do something that's a little more exciting for the kids. So we decided to do a special lesson every 4th lesson. So what is a special lesson? Our goal was to have some sort of craft or activity, or if we were going to play full-on games, then we would do it in that lesson. And the idea was that we could try to use more of that time, that special lesson, to create an environment for communication. So if we were going to do a craft, we would practice the vocabulary, you know, paper and scissors, and can I have glue, please? May I use this? Or I'm finished, et cetera, et cetera. So if we have that sort of every 4th lesson, this fun activity, then I think the 3 lessons of academic worksheet-focused, worksheet-based lessons would be more successful. And it was the right move by far. We've been doing it for now 5 years, and I can't think of any other way to set up our lessons. If you do teach at a private English conversation school, and you're still doing these big Halloween parties, these big Christmas parties, these big events, it turns out you can just do those in your special lesson and have students invite their friends, and it just saves so much time and planning and money. It's a great solution. Okay, so we then started using worksheets as the main focus, but we wanted them to go home and continue doing the worksheet. So we thought, well, let's not just do 1 worksheet, not 2 worksheets. Can we give our students 3 or 4 worksheets every lesson and have them accomplish that, have them do those? And we thought if they could do that, they would get all of the reading and writing challenges or practice out of the way at home, and then we could do more fun stuff in class, more communication-based. And so that was how we decided to create our first flipped learning program. So we do 1 or 2 pages of worksheets in class. The students take the remaining worksheets home, maybe an additional 2 worksheets, and they work on them at home. And we would have a DVD. They could play the DVD, watch the video, practice along, maybe sing the unit song or sing some chants. And after they did that, they could, you know, color some stars in this piece of paper we had, the curriculum card, and bring it back, and we would give them a reward. And so the system kind of worked, and it kind of didn't work. And so how did it work? Well, the students that did it, we could tell right away. They would come in, and they knew the vocabulary. They knew the words. They didn't have to review. And so we thought, this is why, you know, we created this system, why we created the worksheet method, why we have them go home and watch videos, this flipped learning program. But the students who don't do it, man, it's a huge flop. And what makes things worse is you get a massive imbalance in class. So you get this massive imbalance, and so the students who are ready to move forward to learn new things, they can, but the other students, they're like, I don't know. And so the teacher is confronted with this problem of, do I teach to the advanced students or the struggling students or somewhere in the middle? And none of those are really great solutions. And so we kind of, you know, redesigned our system. We thought about what's working, what's not working. You know, why are we having this problem? And I think one of the main reasons is that it was too complicated. We're talking about, you know, 2-year-olds and up. So 3-year-olds to 10-year-olds, if there are too many steps in a process, you're going to have a lot of issues with students completing their homework or doing the activities, learning the content. So yeah, it wasn't working. And our students would have to go home, put in the DVD. Maybe some students are like, I don't know how to use a DVD player. Some students were driving to school and like, this is great, we can watch it in our car. And so it just wasn't a consistent system. And that was the reason that our, you know, when we first started using the workbook textbook combination, that was another thing. The kids had to open one book and find the vocabulary in the other one, and it was black and white and boring, and just, it wasn't working. And the other issue that I think we needed to work on was a better reward system. And I think if you have a really solid reward system set up in place initially, when you start your flipped learning program, it all falls into place and everyone gets used to it at once. Then when new students join, they say, oh, everyone's doing this, and they can follow pretty easily. But if you don't have that initial momentum, then you're going to run into trouble. So definitely having the most or the simplest system possible and having a nice way to reward it and make sure everyone knows the benefits, the parents, the teachers, the students, the managers, everyone is on board and able to understand why we need to be doing this every single week, every single, you know, every single lesson, maybe even every single day if you have that, you know, that evolved of a system or that in-depth of a system. Okay, so everything, we decided, yeah, we need to revamp our system. Okay, we've got some good ideas. And then the pandemic hits. All right. So the pandemic wasn't fun for anybody. And we all struggled to get our operations online. And most of us found that, oh, we're not really prepared for online learning. But we did learn one really valuable lesson. And that was that everyone has a smartphone. And everyone can kind of use their smartphone. Well, people can't really use their smartphones. Last week, we asked our students to go home and test out this new game we made. I'm gonna go on a tangent for a second here. But we said, okay, well, we've got this new game, but because of the way the game is laid out, you can't use the app in portrait mode. You need to rotate your phone to landscape. And if you're in portrait mode, there will be a little, you know, screen that pops up that says, please turn your phone sideways. And we started getting some emails and some phone calls like, hey, I can't, you know, I rotate my phone and I still can't play the game. And we're like, well, it's working for most people. It's working on everything we've tried. Like, what is going on here? So we had one parent come in, bring in their phone, and she said, okay, see, it's in portrait mode. Now when I turn it, it doesn't change. But she didn't realize that you need to have gravity. The phone needs gravity to know that it's in landscape mode or portrait mode. You can't put it on a flat table and spin it and expect it to know which orientation. It's based on gravity. So my point is that you can create a really good flipped learning system using different apps and different technology. But the more steps you have, the fewer student or parents you're going to have successfully complete the system. So rule number one of flipped learning, blended learning, or hybrid lessons is the simpler, the better. My theory is that for every extra step you add, you lose 10% of your success rate. So like, okay, well, here's... You need to go to this app and install it. All right, you've lost 10%. 10% probably can't even install the app. All right, and then you have to create a profile. Yeah, good luck. So maybe with older students or more advanced students, adults, maybe it's not an issue. But for us, we had to get rid of all of the unnecessary steps, unnecessary apps, unnecessary DVDs. So we need to make the easiest system possible. And the pandemic taught us that. I don't miss the pandemic at all, but I do appreciate that we learned a lot about online learning and hybrid, flip, blended, etc. All right, so that's a really long story about how we got to where we are now. So in the end, we created Bingo Bongo. We created all of our worksheets. And so now we have the ABC Fun Box, which is a QR code-based flipped, blended, hybrid teaching tool that I introduced in webinar number one of the series. If you haven't seen that, please check it out. I'm not going to go into too much detail on that, but now we're using the ABC Fun Box. We're using QR codes, and we're getting an incredible like 90-95% success rate of our students doing all of the activities at home. So it's definitely all of our ideas fell into place nicely. We solved the two issues of simplicity and not having a decent reward system in place. And so everything is good now. And because we have the worksheets and we decided we're going to do worksheets in class, and because now we have the ABC Fun Box filled with all of these online games, today I will explain how we put them together. And we have a very nice tool for teaching lessons in class, teaching lessons online, or for students to go home and continue learning new material or reviewing the previous lessons. Okay, so that was, a bit of a long introduction. But so let's jump into what worksheets do you use? Well, I explained. We use the Bingo Bongo system. And let's see if I can find them here. These are my notes. So we go to the ABC Fun Box. And what you can do is I can look up lessons. I can look up worksheets by unit and by lesson, by level. Or if I have the fun books in front of me, then what I can do, let's see if I can blow this up a little bit. Yeah. I can just select the book and the page. So here I would go in and choose which fun book. Maybe you can't see my screen right now, but anyway, so I choose the fun book. All right, I'm going to go into fun book 2, and then I'll go here, and okay, we'll go super sentences, and great. So I have this worksheet that gets pulled up on screen here, and let me click on that, and let me get my screen back to a decent size here. Okay, so this is great. Now I have, for any of the worksheets in my whole system, I can find it and access it in seconds. I can zoom in, zoom out. I can play with it online. If the students have the worksheets, then they can look at the screen if I had a computer or a tablet or a TV. And we have a lot of different options. Okay, so these are the worksheets that we use. And if I go into the level lookup here, let me zoom in a little bit. So if I were to go into, say, level 3, and I look at unit 1, and I hit lesson 1, so I can see these four worksheets pop up. And so I would use these four worksheets for my lesson. And I might do the more difficult or challenging parts in class and ask the students to go home and do the rest. But then if I go to, say, Unit 2, Lesson 1, you can see they're the same style worksheets. And they are very colorful. And the key point to notice here is that they're all based on repetition. So whatever I do this unit, I'll be doing in unit 3, I'll be doing in unit 4, I'll be doing every single unit. And that's one of the things we found that helps students get more confidence, more motivation, is learning that, hey, initially I couldn't do this worksheet, but now I can do it. And so as they progress, as you work through the year and do the same worksheet, not necessarily every week, but every 4 weeks, then you see their confidence build very quickly. And I think, in general, most teachers that have experience and have been doing it for a long time, you realize a solid routine is very, very important for teaching any topic. So this routine and repetition are kind of the important parts of the Bingo Bongo worksheets. But yeah, so we have 10 years, basically, if you're teaching once a week, a 10-year curriculum with 400 lessons just ready to go. And once I load my worksheet, then I can go into the fun box and I can say, all right, well, let's play this game, or let's use these interactive flashcards, or let's do this song or these chants. So I'm going to explain each of these kind of piece by piece as we move forward here, but getting back on topic, so what worksheets do you use? We prefer the Bingo Bongo worksheets. That's why we made them. Okay, so what are the strengths of those? Like I said, they're built on repetition and routine. Students get confidence. They learn how to do them. And they can focus on the content and not how to do the worksheets. And so if I'm using them in class, this is great because our worksheets are really valuable as communication or conversation tools. So maybe I have a worksheet and the student doesn't know how to do it. Well, they can ask me, please help me. How do you say blah, blah, blah in English? Or we have a variety of different ways that we can use these in class to encourage natural communication. And so, yeah, one interesting thing with our lessons, it's a little bit off topic, but when we do worksheets in class, we have a rule in my school that students cannot bring their own pencils or erasers or anything to class. The only thing they bring are their worksheets and their folders that they keep the worksheets in. And so why do we do that? Well, I want to create as many communication challenges as possible. So this is also embedded into the worksheets, but before we even start the worksheets, we create this problem for the students. And they don't know, or they don't have a pencil. They can't write. And so we say, okay, let's start the worksheets, guys. And they go, oh, I don't have a pencil. Well, what happens? They have to ask me for a pencil. So we create this challenge. And for them, they go, okay, well, can I have a pencil, please? And I say, yes, you can. If they're 3 years old or 2 years old, they're much younger. So we start simple and like, okay, pencil, please. And so we always try to take it one step further. And then, you know, I have four different colors. I have a pink pencil, a blue pencil, a yellow pencil, or a green pencil. And so the kids have to say, all right, pink pencil, please, blue pencil, please. And so we're teaching them vocabulary, pencil, please, some colors, but we're teaching them to use it as real communication. It's not part of a game. And so this was my biggest complaint with games, like I initially said, when we just first started out and the kids were like, game, game, game. They were playing games and they were learning the English, but they were only learning them in the context of a game and not really as a tool for communicating. And if you meet a student every day, if you are like an international kindergarten or if it's ESL where they have a, you know, they're always immersed in the language, that's fine. Games are great. But for me as an EFL, English as a Foreign Language teacher, we have a huge problem, and that's I only meet the students once a week, so I need to make my lessons as efficient as possible. So yeah, games might teach the vocabulary, but if I can teach them the vocabulary in conjunction or as I do some communicative activity, they're going to learn it as a tool for speaking. So for example, can I come into the classroom, please? May I sit down, please? Can I go to the bathroom? Anything that they need to do, they have to use English to do it. And so the pencil example is no different. And when we were teaching vocabulary just using regular games, like for example, take rock, scissors, paper, or rock, paper, scissors, wherever you're from. Our students have played this game, you know, just hundreds of thousands of times. Rock, scissors, paper, one, two, three, as they play it here in Japan. Excuse me. But then we would do our special lessons, and I would say, okay, guys, now we're going to do a craft. Please ask me. All right, can I have a worksheet, please? And then I would say, okay, guys, can I have? And they're like, oh, can I have? And they don't know the word for scissors. So why is that? They know the word scissors, rock, scissors, paper, one, two, three. They've learned it a million times, but they didn't learn it in the context of this is a tool that I use to cut paper. They learned it as a game piece. All right, so when we talk about playing games, we want to get more value, more mileage out of them. So anyway, back to the pencil example, we create these challenges that force students to learn new vocabulary in this context of I have to communicate in English to do it. So now with my more advanced students, they come in and say, okay, Jeremy, may I borrow a long, sharp green pencil, please? And just, you know, over the years, that example, that repetition over and over, it's so cool to see that we've learned it just through our daily routines. And with that, that's not even, I mean, it's to do the worksheet, but that's independent of any resource. So if you have a chance to try that out, I'd highly recommend it. Okay, so the strength of our worksheets, yeah, we use them to communicate. So then when they do the worksheets, the same idea applies. We do have a few worksheets where maybe the students can't do it on their own, and that's intentional. We want them to have a reason to communicate. Okay, I don't know how to do this part. Can you help me? Can we watch the video? Can you show me the flashcards? can I talk to, you know, my neighbor? Can we work together to do this? But not game, 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 like they were so programmed to shout before. Okay, so what else is great? Or what are the benefits, the strengths of our worksheets? Our worksheets, a lot of them tend to have a puzzle or a problem-solving element to them. So students get this great sense of achievement or accomplishment after doing them. So our worksheets are very motivational on their own. We don't need to play games. We don't have to really ask students to do them. They're willing and they're excited to do them on their own. So if you find worksheets like that, they are the most valuable tool that you will have as a teacher. let's see. So just to give you an idea of what it would look like, we spend about 10 minutes of every single lesson doing the worksheets. And I have a video lined up here. And let's see what this looks like. I'm going to put my audio in because I can't hear it without this. So to set this clip up, basically, this is a small class of 3 students. We've spent maybe the first 20 or 30 minutes doing our daily warm-up routines, taking attendance, doing a warm-up activity. So you can see on the whiteboard behind me, it says, what is the day of the week? What is the month? We take turns going around the table asking about that, asking the weather. And then it says, last week, I blah, blah, blah. Did you blah, blah, blah last week? We do a little warm-up activity using a different resource we have called Stictionary cards. And those are collecting stickers to learn 60 new verbs. But then at the end of class, we jump into the worksheets. And I make sure they know how to do the difficult parts. And we spend this time communicating. So let's see how that unfolds.
French, 프랑스어대. In Korean, 한국어대. In
Japanese.
How do you say menu in Japanese?
Menu.
Okay, so menu is menu. All right, can you find the menu on the worksheet? They have the worksheet in front of them. I have the worksheet on my tablet, and I will find the worksheet is number 5, so I can write do, 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 do.
Okay, so this is great. What I'm trying to do is we're introducing new vocabulary in our Fun Book 3, which gets a little more advanced. We have 15 new verbs for every unit, and this unit is in a restaurant. So they're verbs related to in a restaurant, ordering, choosing, sharing, chewing, pouring, scooping. And we introduce the new words, but then we want to check the meaning. And so I have them ask me, or I ask them, how do you say blah, blah, blah in English or in their native language, which is in this case, Japanese. And so then each student takes a turn asking or answering a question. And after they do that, I can go ahead and on my tablet, I just throw that up on the TV. I cast it using, I personally use Chromecast, but if you have a Mac alternative, or if you have a computer set up, you have a touch TV, which would be great. There are a lot of ways to do this. So I actually just, we do the worksheet together. So let's watch a little more of that.
So I write the 5 there, and it's on the TV. That's pretty cool. Okay, next, Sally, number 6. How do you say? Dessert. In Japanese. How do you say dessert in Japanese?
Okay, so that's a fun way to incorporate worksheets into the lesson using communication. And so, those are, if we go back to our topic at hand, what are the strengths of the worksheets? They have a lot of potential and they are incredibly motivational for students. And yeah, just lots of, you know, they're repetitive. There's 1,200 worksheets in the series. There are, I think, at least 100 different types of worksheets that a lot of them we've sat down and we've created from scratch just to create these communication situations and make them as fun as possible. So then let's move forward. So why play online games while doing worksheets? So we just saw, like, the worksheets are fun. They're, you know, problems. They're little games, in a sense, in and of themselves. The kids have a fun time doing them. So why would you need to play online games? Well, just to mix it up would be one reason. We want to add a new element. We don't want to do the same thing every time. We do want repetition and routines, but we want to have a little bit of different activities and throw in some new flavors here and there. So I think online games are really good for that. And if you are creating a flipped learning program, or if you're doing this hybrid system where you have kids go home and do more activities at home, then by seeing the games, the online games in class, they go home and they know how to play them. They know how to load them. They know what to do. And it's the same with the worksheets. That's why we do a little bit of it in class. They know how to do the hard parts or get them started. They go home and they finish the rest. So it's the same same principle with online games. Okay, so I think we've really discussed the theory and the ideas behind the worksheets, the online games, and why to do them together. So our next point is to actually let's look at some games and see how that works. Okay, so number one, our first online game is do the worksheet on a big screen as students follow along. Is that a game? No, that's not a game. But like you just saw, so this in the video we just looked at, I'm doing the worksheet on the tablet. The kids are watching it in real time. We're communicating as we do it, and they're doing the worksheets. And so because our worksheets, they feel like a game, like I mentioned, the students, when they complete that, there's a huge sense of, I did it, I'm done, I don't have any homework, and there's that accomplishment. And that's really, in a sense, kind of what students are trying to achieve when they play a game. They're trying to beat the level or accomplish some goal. And so if your worksheets can act as a game, then why not just do that? Just do the worksheet on the big screen. I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to play some of our games, use the ABC Fun Box on a big, big touchscreen TV. And if you have the opportunity to get one of these, I've heard some teachers have them, these are super cool. I definitely am planning to get these as soon as I can. So, I'll hit play here and scan ahead. So you can see it's just a massive 65-inch touch panel TV. And I go in and I can access any of my worksheets really quickly. If I know the fun book and page number, or if I know the level and the unit and the lesson, I can find those. And boom, I just pull it right up on the screen. I can move it around, zoom in and out. And the ABC Fun Box lets me, like I said, we can grab the worksheets, the flashcards, the songs, the games, all of it's just on the left. No switching websites, no new apps, no, cat. Just nothing. It's cat. Really nice. Cat. So here,
cow.
We could go in and use the flashcards and
clock.
Practice the words in the worksheet.
Car.
And the nice thing about the Fun Box is that whatever worksheet you're looking at, these games, these activities are all designed dynamically. So that means whatever vocabulary is in the worksheet, that will be the exact vocabulary found in all of the flashcards, all of the games, all the activities.
Clock.
So this game is called ABC Explorers. I'm going to introduce it in a moment. But again, so these are some examples of online games that I could play. All right. So here I'm actually going through and let's skip ahead. I'm just doing the worksheet. So this worksheet is from Fun Book 1, and it's called Matching Time. And with this worksheet, there are five words that start with the letter C, and we practice those. And then in the worksheet, there are five words that don't start with the letter C. And because the worksheet, they tear out of the books, I just give them one page. They only have one thing to look at, one thing to focus on. And because all of the vocabulary words are contained in the page, We don't really need to have an extra textbook workbook combination or any other resources. I just give them this one, and I can use it in a lot of different ways. All of our worksheets have instructions. Draw a line from the word that starts with the letter C to the C. Draw an X, or draw a line from the other words to the X. But I recommend you don't do that. I recommend thinking about what language your students need to practice and find ways to do the worksheet with them that will benefit them the most. So for this worksheet, with a three-year-old, when they first start out, they don't know how to use a pencil, really. And this idea of drawing lines from the dog to the, or the cat to the sea would be kind of difficult. So I start out with an easier example and just say, all right, please circle the cat. All right, put your pencil down, touch your shoulders. All right, now please circle car. And they circle the car. Now please. So you can create a fun interactive, or a fun activity based on the worksheets. And if you do that on the big screen, then this is going to help the students understand in a much faster way. I think if you can use the student's native language, if I speak Japanese, I can explain it very quickly. But by them just seeing how it's done and hearing the English as it's explained, there's so much more value in doing that. All right, so we might come back to this video later, but I'm basically working through the worksheet. I finish it. I give them a big smiley face. And so then we're going to look at some other games. We'll talk about these games later, but on a big screen, you can have a TV, you can have a projector, you can have a computer, you can use a tablet and cast it. But I recommend having this setup that allows you to do this activity. So in this activity, looks like I'm doing a game with a worksheet. And the other thing I should mention is that whenever you load an activity, it stays in the background. So then you can just toggle very quickly between the game or the activity and your worksheet. So you can see with one button, it just goes back to my worksheet. And then I can go back to the drawing mode, which looks like I bumped a little bit here, put it back in its position, and continue doing the worksheet. And keep in mind, students are working on their own worksheet in front of them and just watching the TV or looking down at their worksheets as we do this. Now, if you were an online teacher, your students might not have books or worksheets. But if you really want to have, I think, a more successful program, I recommend having the parents download and print, or printing them yourself, printing the worksheets yourself and sending them to your students. Having a physical object, especially with young learners, is really, really beneficial. It helps them keep their focus, gives them the motor skills for reading or for writing, and there's just so many benefits of having a physical object to work with. The fun box for any of the worksheets, you can download any single worksheet. So when I'm looking at the big worksheets here on the screen, there's actually a little button on the left that says download. Click that and you've downloaded the PDF, and you can then print it or send it to parents of your students, and you have a really nice way to, again, do the worksheets with online games. All right. So that was our first game, which wasn't really a game, but we said, hey, that's cool. Just do the worksheet on a big screen. For really young kids, that is entertaining enough, and they'll feel like they've, you know, beat the level when they finish the worksheet. So please try that out if you have a chance. It's not actually an online game, and it's not very earth-shattering, but it is one of the most effective tools that I have. And again, that just creating that need to communicate is really important. All right, so let's go into our next example of an online game that we can play. And we just saw that in that video, but I'll demonstrate it live here on the ABC Fun Box. So I go into the ABC Fun Box and I pull up a worksheet that I want to do. Let's get this back into the native size here. And so I go into my search menu. I'm gonna choose a phonics fun book worksheet. So this is our phonics fun book, and I'll just go to unit 1 and select a lesson. And let's say we just want to learn some words that have the short A vowel sound. Okay, so we've got those, and let's go ahead and let's load a game together with this. So I would load ABC Explorers. And once that's loaded, I have a little button down here that says Previous. So we can toggle between these very quickly. And so if the students are learning this, these new words, or they're learning how to spell the words, I would maybe go into writing mode like this and say, okay, guys, well, let's spell cat. K-A-T. Okay, so that one's the example. That one's already done for us. So I'm going to go back to my game. And it looks like I have it set up for super easy mode, which is okay. And let's see, can I change out of that? Let's do full word. And we should be good. And let's see if this has the full word for us now. And no, it doesn't. I am in a different mode. Anyway, we'll just do this one. So, k-a-n. And so then you can see, oh, an animal hatches. Whoop, whoop. All right, so nice. So the thing with ABC Explorers is we're going to be just learning the vocabulary and spelling it out. Then I would say, all right, guys, we spelled can. So that was C-A-N. Now let's go back to our worksheet. And here it is. So now can we spell can? And we'll go back to the drawing screen. I'm going to erase that. Okay, so we just practiced on the game, and now we can do the worksheet. So the kids have theirs in front of them, and I go C-A-N. It's much easier to draw if you have the stylus or a tablet, but so here I have a C, I have an A, and an N. Okay, so we've finished one stage or one step of the worksheet. Now let's go back to our game to hear the next word, and let's get out of our drawing mode here. Okay, so we can go to the next word. Bag. All right, so we ask them, how do you spell bag? B-A-G. B-B-B. All right, so guys, which one's B-B-B? And so we go B-A-G. And the, oh, you got a green octopus. So the kids are really, really excited to see what animals are appearing. We got a blue cat. We got a green octopus. And just it keeps their motivation level super high, and we can go in and say, all right, next word. Okay, so which one? That was bag, so we need to spell bag, guys. Okay, so here's bag. How do you spell bag? Let me zoom out just a hair. Go in here, and I'm going to delete that. Okay, so then, again, you work through the worksheet, and the students work along, but you do an online game. If you're in a classroom, you have it on the TV or on the computer or on a tablet. If you're online, if you're teaching online, they hopefully have the worksheets in front of them, and you're working through giving them the guidance and giving them the game to stay motivated. All right, so that's one of our games, ABC Explorers. All right, so yeah, like I said, this game for any of the worksheets, for any of the 1,200 worksheets, any of the fun books, every single level, every single game, every single worksheet. So if I go into, say, level 9, some of our more advanced vocabulary, so they're going to learn adjectives such as unnatural, temporary, necessary, disposable. But still, if I go to ABC Explorers, you're going to see, wow, unexpected. That's a very, very long word for them to work through, but it's still a fun thing for them to do. And if you have them go home and use our QR code system, they can just scan a QR code and it pops up on their screen and they can start playing. So that's another way to incorporate that. Yep. So then I would go back to my worksheet and we could work through that together. You can kind of see that the game has different settings, different options. If I go into the options mode for ABC Explorers, I can focus on just the full word, the first letter only, the second letter only, the third letter only. I can do uppercase, lowercase words. I can show them hints in uppercase, lowercase. I can add extra unused letters. I can do a lot. So there's a lot of ways to use it. And starting even at 3 years old, this is a great game. So that's a fun one to do with your worksheets. Okay, so next, what would be our next game to look at? We currently have a lot of games that are focusing on the phonics and spelling. So Chomp Man or an interactive word search. And we're going to have more memory-style games and quizzes. So you hear the word and you have to click the right tile. Or you see the tile and you have to click the right word. We've got a lot of stuff on the way. So if you're interested in any of that, please go ahead and check out Chomp Man. If we wanted to see Chomp Man, we could go back to the video we were just looking at. And this is Chomp Man. You know what? Actually, it's going to be better if we just look at it live here. So for Chomp Man, I'm going to go to a lower level with shorter words. So let's go to level 3, unit 4, and lesson 2. And, oh, these are the words that start with the letter K. So I would pull up Chomp Man. And the kids have this worksheet, any of the 4 worksheets, and we jump right in. So I'm going to turn off my audio for this one. Music and word, letter hints only. So this game is nice because it's essentially a hangman, but with a fun twist that if I get it wrong, if I get the letters wrong, kitten. So I need to be spelling kitten. Oh, no, I clicked S. There is no S. So now the monster or the alligator's head appears, and the students can shout out letters. If you have a touch screen, they can touch the letters. And here's the C, here's the H. No, no CH, no H. What is it? Kitten. K. Ooh. I. T T. E. N. All right, so we spelled kitten. Now, if this is on difficult mode, which it is, the monster doesn't reset after each word. Oh, it's not on difficult mode. So let's go back into difficult mode. And this is a really fun way. You could set up a nice game where students take turns, and if the monster chomps on their turn, they lose. So here we go. Just to see what happens. He got. We have 4 more wrong guesses before he gets angry and eats our board. But, no, what is it? King. K-I-N-G. All right, so we got it right. But there, he is still there, angry and moving faster and faster. Let's see. Kite, there is an E. Uh-oh, now he's super fast. And, oh, we got chomped. Okay, so then, again, we are still using the game element, but we're tying it into the worksheets that we so much want the kids to be doing. And again, the reason we're doing the worksheets is because we can get a lot more communication juice out of them, if you will call it that. Okay, so then let's kind of move this along. So I'm going to mention one more game that we can play with worksheets. Now, this is actually called Battle Eggs, and it's not an online game. It's currently a card game, and the way it works is students get they have a pack of pet cards, which are characters. Basically, they're the characters from ABC Explorers. So there are 10 colors and 10 pets or animals, if you count ninjas and ghosts as animals. And so they get to collect these cards. There's 100 cards in the series, and they collect them, but they always have to have 15 in their battle deck or their pet deck, which they use to battle. Now, the kids, they don't think of this as a learning tool. It's, you know, fun, colorful, rainbow-colored, you know, collectible cards, but we can incorporate those into our lessons pretty much in the same way that we would incorporate the online games with the worksheets. So, let's see. I have a video queued up here. Let's take a look at this. All right, so you're going to see the younger kids. When they're really young, like 3, 4 years old, the idea of using these cards, like almost a role-playing game or collectible card game, to battle and to achieve a goal, it's really difficult for them to understand. I think some of my students, you know, even at 3 years old or 4 years old, they're like, why does the 100 point card beat the 90 point card? Well, that's how numbers work. And so it's just conceptually too difficult. But we can still find a lot of different value in the cards. So let's take a look at this video.
It's a rainbow ninja. It's a green rabbit.
Good job.
So for some of our classes, before we do anything, we just say, hey, you guys want to do the worksheets? Well, first take out your pet cards and say all of the colors and all of the pets. And every student has their own deck, their own pet deck in a clear plastic case. And so they never exchange cards, they never lose cards, and they always can work at their own pace.
All right.
And if I say, get your pet decks, they know what to do.
Zombie.
Guitar, purple,
good job.
It's a red,
ghost.
It's a big rabbit.
It's a red ninja. It's a orange cat.
It's a good.
All right, and because the pet cards, they have point values, they have weather symbols, they have emotions, there's 10 emotions, there are 10 shapes, 10 colors, they have birthdays, they all have hobbies, they have interests, their favorite food and drink, so there's so many ways that we can use these. And again, just have them pull out their cards and practice some vocabulary. That's really, really effective. We've been testing it out this year, and we've had great results. But now, how do we use these with worksheets? So one thing we can do is if each student has their own deck, we say, all right, everyone, let's have a pet battle. And so for a pet battle, you take your pet deck. And do I have a pet deck here? I do. You might not be able to see my pet deck because of the green screen. But anyway, I have my cards. And to have a battle, you just take one card off the top. 3, 2, 1, battle eggs. And it's kind of hard to see here, but you get a pet card. So usually the pet card with the highest PPP is the winner. All right. And really, in a sense, just think of this as junkin', right? So think of this as rock, scissors, paper. And so you want to have kids play rock, scissors, paper. If they win, they do something. If they lose, they do something. Well, you can apply that to worksheets. So if I have a worksheet with a reading activity, and one example of that, let's pull one up in the ABC Fun Box. I would go into the more advanced levels where we have a lot of reading comprehension. And that's not very exciting for kids, but if they get to mix it up with some battle eggs, it's much more exciting. So we'll go into level six, and we'll do any unit, doesn't matter, they all repeat. And so for this activity, we're taking the same verbs that they learned in the previous year. So there are 9 verbs, but now we're learning the form with ing, putting, making, sleeping. And before, they just had to write the verb in based on the picture. Now they have to read the story or read the sentences, understand the context, and find the best verb for the blank. So what we can do is say, all right, let's have a pet battle. You throw a pet card, you throw a pet card. If you have the highest PPP, please read the English. If you have the low PPP, say the answer or say the translation or do nothing or repeat. You can do anything you want. It's so flexible and versatile. So we've been doing that with every class from 3-year-olds up until junior high school students in third grade or in the 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And everyone loves it. It doesn't matter how old. Everyone has just been so excited to play Battle Eggs. And then every so often, I mentioned the reward, having a good reward system when you implement your flipped learning program. Well, our reward was you get more pet cards. So if the students do all of the QR codes at home, they color them in, they come back and say, I did everything, they get some stickers. If they collect 60 stickers, which are verbs, adjectives, and nouns, again, more studying opportunities, then they can get, say, like 5 or 10 new pet cards. And so that was the key to making our flipped learning program as successful, or one of the keys, one of the tricks, I think, there. So yeah, definitely. You can check out Battle Eggs. Just Google search Battle Eggs, and Bingo Bongo. Just Battle Eggs on itself will pop up. You can see all of the different levels of vocabulary. There's a whole separate game that Battle Eggs is meant to be. But even if you ignore that, if you don't do that, you still have a lot of other ways to use it in class with worksheets. If you do want to use it the way we designed it, that's great too. We're creating new levels every year, so you can always look forward to that. We have six levels. They start with basic short vowel sound phonics, long vowel phonics, and then just it goes up. And the level gets much more advanced as they go forward, so they're asking questions and doing quizzes. It's definitely a fun game and full of great potential. All right, so I think we've covered a lot of topics today. Hopefully I didn't ramble on too much, but I think it's important to understand why a lot of these things are being done, why we designed the resources the way we have. And so just to recap on everything we've said today, if you want to start a hybrid program, and by hybrid, I don't mean an in-class and then online lesson. I mean an in-class followed up with a structured series of activities at home. So in a sense, flipped learning. So if you want to have a solid flipped learning or hybrid learning program, first thing is just to get worksheets that you know are fun and effective. The brighter, the more colorful, built on repetition, all of those will create a really solid foundation. And if you have 10 years worth of those, you don't really have to plan anything. You just look in your book and go, okay, what's the next worksheet? Or open the ABC fun box and say, oh, today we're looking at adjectives. Just no thought involved. When I prepare my lessons, I can do it in 3 to 5 minutes per class. Right now, what I do is prepare everything for all of our schools, all of our teachers, all of our lessons for the week, upcoming week, prepare all the QR codes. And using the fun box, I can do it in 10, 20 minutes tops for a full week for hundreds of students, hundreds of lessons, level or 10 levels, and just, yeah, hundreds of lessons per year. It's definitely a great approach. So you got to have fun, awesome worksheets. And what else? You need to have some games. You can do online games, or as we saw, even just being able to do the worksheets on a TV. Do them on a screen, having the ability to work through the worksheets with the students. That visual support is really effective. And if your games all have the same vocabulary as the worksheets, then that just makes everything kind of a no-brainer. Everything falls right into place. And then finally, all of those games, I've seen a lot of really great websites with a lot of great games, but if you don't have a way for your kids to go home and just, like I said, as simply as possible to scan a QR code and that game pops up. If you don't have the ability to do that, you're going to lose some of your potential of the efficacy or the coolness of that flipped learning program. So these are all things that obviously we wanted the Bingo Bongo curriculum to have. The ABC Fun Box checks off all of those boxes. So if you want to hear more about the ABC Fun Box, then definitely take a look at our past webinars. Number one has some pretty nice details there. You can see a lot of tutorials on the website, or you can send us a message, and I'm happy to answer anything you would like to know about those. All right, so then on that note, if you do want to hear more about how to play games in the classroom at home, online, or offline lessons. Next week, our topic is the best games for online and offline lessons. We will have a guest, Jeff Hudson from Easy Fun Learning Games. When I first met Jeff and saw the array, the amount of games that he has created and designed, just the quality and just like awesome factor, yeah, I was super blown away. So this guy knows games inside and out. And I think he will agree with me that games that focus on not so much winning and losing, but the process or the journey of doing the games, the activities, not competing, but collaborating. Those games are going to be more effective. So next week, February 11th, Friday night, from 8 p.m., please join us, and you can hear more about Jeff's ideas. He knows so many great games, so we're, definitely looking forward to that. All right, so then, if there are no questions in the Zoom chat arena, which it looks like we are in the clear for now. So if you do have any other questions, if you do want the e-certificate, please send us a message and we'll get back to you. All right. Well, I'd like to say thank you to everyone for watching, and we'll see you again. Thanks a lot.